Welcome, all us listeners. This is a podcast that has no name, and because we have no name, we can do whatever we want to do.
White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
I'm Ambush.
I'm Castro.
And I'm Morg. And we are A Podcast Has No Name.
This episode we are reviewing Deadpool 2.
Wait, what happened?
I don't know. I was waiting for Castro's song, and then it didn't happen.
What is the song? Oh, what was I going to do?
Terrible. Save it to the end, and then I'll put it in. I'll put it on.
Whatever. You know what I'm going to say when I remember it. So that's just the way I thought
about it. But just don't do it like in the middle of the episode.
Somebody talking?
No, he definitely.
Oh, yeah, it might happen. He's definitely doing that.
Okay.
That's already good.
All right.
You might as well forget asking me to not do it.
Okay. Well.
Level of expectation has been set.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
And this is where we are now.
Yes. We will be discussing Deadpool 2. Deadpool.
She's your podcast to be.
Mm-mm.
A podcast perfection. Of your infection to soothe your podcast desires.
Ooh, is that
your
wrong?
Your podcast to
So Castro just gave himself laryngitis.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a new note. Record breaking.
My life
around here
for the art. My life is on the line for the art.
Okay. So, jump into the plot as given to us by IMDb.
We're reviewing
Mercenary.
What?
I already said it.
Wow.
Really? Really, Castro? Really?
Sorry. I'm fourth wall breaking here.
Okay, so Deadpool 2, the plot, as given to us by IMDb, foul-mouthed mutant mercenary Wade Wilson, a.k.a. Deadpool, brings together a team of fellow mutant rogues, to protect a young boy with supernatural abilities from the brutal, time-traveling cyborg, Cable.
He's definitely a cyborg. I don't know why I forgot that. It's not just he has a metal arm. You know, he's a full cyborg. I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay. So, you want to jump into the quick summary next, Castro? Is that okay? Am I jumping the gun here?
That's perfectly fine.
So, quick summary of each major character. We don't have too many to go through. Cable, Vanessa, Domino, Deadpool, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Russell, Colossus, and Dopinder.
All right, let's start with Cable.
Okay. I'm probably not the best one to do this, but Cable is a time-traveling cyborg. He appears to be the villain, and he kicks a lot of butt.
That is Cable. You also had been listed as Nathan Summers in the credits, which is excellent. Mm. Quick nod to his parents.
Quick nod.
His parents, you know.
Just call out Easter eggs as we go.
Wait, who are his parents?
Cyclops. Okay. So, Cable's parents are Cyclops and a clone of Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor.
Oh.
It's a lot to get into more. I do want to talk about how well they did Cable in the movie because he was a big character. And also, if you think of an Easter egg, just say it. There's so many. We just roll right through them. So if you're like, hey, remember this? Just blurt it out. It's all good. Vanessa, good character. She always keeps him grounded. Pretty decent twist with her in the beginning. I wasn't expecting that.
No.
But because she's not in the comics at all. She is in the comics, but not directly in this way. And so I like that they, you know, she's necessary for a movie to, you know, humanize him and sympathize with him. So, I'm cool with Vanessa. I think she did all right. even though she was like an astral plane for like half the movie.
More than half the movie.
Most of the movie. But yeah. At least she wasn't in the astral plane in the motherfucking ghetto, like Njobu. A lot of here.
Okay. Well, okay. That's where she died.
Domino. I think Domino was excellent. They, the way they conveyed her abilities, I was really, you know, wondering how they were going to actually pull that off. But it worked out really well. They didn't seem over the top or, you know, comedic and just, like, ridiculous. It didn't seem like, what's that movie? Oh, Final Destination. It didn't play out like that. Like, her powers play out the way, you know, in a way that seemed kind of cool. She is a pretty major character in the books when it comes to the X-Force and New Mutants and that whole X-Men affiliates team. So to have her in Deadpool 2 was dope. It was a major plus for me. Who wants to take Deadpool?
I'll take it. Another masterful Ryan Reynolds performance. He really was born to play this role. A lot of great little things about Deadpool. One thing I liked the most was, I didn't even notice this until I watched the review, that they made his eyes have expression. Like, they would get bigger and smaller when it's just supposed to be a mask. And I thought that was a really good touch. I'm conflicted. We'll get into all of this. I'm conflicted about this franchise continuing on this path. I mean, he has a lot to do with it, but he also has, you know, there's a lot more to go with it. But, yeah, I think Deadpool did really good in this movie. I'll put it like this. In the movie, he did really well, in my opinion. But then some of my friends that are comic book readers said, it's highly unbelievable that he would get so enraptured with this kid. Like, that's just not what he does. And so, not that I'm not a big Deadpool reader. In fact, one of my friends wanted me to ask you, and if you read the book, have you gotten to the Deadpool comics at all?
Yeah, I had some Deadpool comics. I was in and out of Deadpool. I was in and out of Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll bring it back up because they definitely, one of our listeners definitely was curious about that. So I'll bring that up, but I'll sum this up with, I think Deadpool did really good in his second movie. They humanized him a little bit more. It worked as far as the movie, but I don't know if this thing can be sustained. I'll put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Megasonic Teenage Warhead. MJ, you want that?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Well,
I'll take it. It was nothing.
Because she was definitely one of my faves from the first film, and I'm glad they brought her back to the second one. She was like the perfect little accent to everything else that was going on. You could count on her little smug face and a little snide comment. That was great. So next we got Russell.
Russell is a kid. I don't remember how old is he supposed to be, 15 or 12? I don't know. He's a kid.
He's an old teenager. He's got to be like that. Okay. 18.
He's an older teenager? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
All right, so young kid who is has the ability to shoot fire, start fire, manipulate it, create it out of his hands. Terrible name, Fire Fist. And he's on the run. He's an annoying kid who wants to be loved, and that is the story of every child. So, but I couldn't feel like where's his family and his parents and the like? Like, is he just out there on his own? Did we get that answer and I had gone to the bathroom?
No, we didn't. We actually didn't get a lot. No, there was a lot missing when it came to that facility.
I'm glad I didn't miss it.
No, you didn't miss it.
Okay. Right, so there's other point about Russell. He needs protection.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So, Am, you know this character. He's Rusty. Remember Rusty?
That's Rusty.
They can do stuff with fire. Yes, remember they never gave Rusty like a code name or anything like that? Yeah.
Right. Damn it.
That's Rusty. So, Morg, there's a character in the comic book. His name is Rusty. He does fire manipulation, but they never really gave him like a code name. They always just call him Rusty. And when I thought about it, I said, oh, this is what they're doing. They're tying this one. Now it's different. He's not like some kid on the run or in Essex. This Essex building didn't exist in the books, but they definitely are like sourcing New Mutants and X-Force and picking characters out of that. So he's one of those. Colossus.
I will say Colossus. Colossus is the homie. I love Colossus, man. He is hilarious. I'm so glad we got more of him in the second one. I remember seeing him in the trailers, so I wasn't sure how much of Colossus we were going to get, but I'm glad we got him. Him being the focal point of all X-Men interaction in Deadpool films is the best. I also like the way that we created him in the Deadpool films versus how he's existed in all the X-Men films previous. This Colossus is just, he's a beast. He was awesome. He's great.
Very underused in the X-Men films. This is the best iteration of Colossus that they that they have out of them, too.
Yeah.
The other one was kind of campy. He was just carrying stuff. He's always when they need to be a fastball for Wolverine or for somebody to be carrying stuff. Remember in X-Men 2, he was carrying a TV in his human form?
Yeah. He was small.
Yes. Yeah. Right. That is true. And he was a teenager. He was a teenager in every sense. Small like one, like a football size. But this one, the CGI Colossus works really well. They get the expressions right. I'm all about it.
Dopinder.
Can we call him Bloodlust? You want to bathe in the blood of his enemies?
I want to bathe in the blood of your enemies.
Dopinder.
Yo, if someone ever said that to you, do you just like immediately die, or does it come just a little bit later? Like, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think I'm dead immediately.
Well,
it depends. But does it apply? Is it like, is that a good thing? Okay, that's pretty good.
Is that like
a thing we need? You know, then you kind of like, you bend it a little bit. But depending
on
like if someone says that to you, you realize you call the cops, like on the fly. A friend of mine's kind of going off the deep end.
He's on the corner right now. He's walking out. He's walking out now. All right, does Dopinder qualify as comic relief? Is that true? Did anybody agree with that?
Is that fair? Yeah.
I think it's
true. I guess when you put it that way, you don't really need comic relief from a comic. I mean, a comedy. But
right.
He is just that. He's all of the unexpected things, you know, like that's. So then, yeah, I think that's exactly what he is.
I feel like the next four characters, well, the next three characters are that. Dopinder, Blind Al, and Weasel are all pretty much comic relief.
This is fair.
Yeah,
it's just relief from
comedy.
Deadpool.
Right, I just think it's
okay.
Existential to have like comic relief in a comedy that's making fun of the
comedian,
which is Deadpool. I mean, look, I think they've done a great job with these franchises. Again, I'm just stuck on, do you keep it up and does it turn into a caricature of itself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, does it become slapstick? Does it become, like, I'm sitting there, does it become Leprechaun 3? Does it, you know, is it Howard the Duck at a certain point?
Leprechaun 3 that far off from Leprechaun 1?
Leprechaun is a bad example, but I just use those in like sometimes that first one works, even though it's horrible, you know. But then when you get into 2 and 3, you're really pushing it, and it's like Jason goes
right,
to hell. Jason goes to space.
I hear you, but I also offer that the first one wasn't bad. The first one was really good. So if the first one's really good. I'm talking about Deadpool at this point. The first one's really good, and the second one is good. I don't know
then
why we're on
stop.
That same trajectory.
But then maybe you stop, and then that be those two versions of him forever. We look through it. We go get the Blu-rays or whatever like that. We don't skip the third one, like X-Men 3 or X-Men Apocalypse. Like, you see what I'm saying? Even though those are serious films, more serious, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like if this were anything else, that would not be your argument. Your argument wouldn't be quit while you're ahead for something that you really, really like.
Mm, okay.
So, I mean, I think that
is
my
greatest
down to you. You've had enough of Deadpool.
It's my greatest
you
metaphor.
Don't want it to get worse.
Mm. There could be a lot of that. Here's another good metaphor I have. Like, I remember the Flintstones, right? Remember,
Flintstones?
That was a comedy. Yeah, Flintstones. Remember that that alien that would pop up that only Fred and Barney could see?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And remember those were the kooky episodes where they were doing things people just couldn't explain? And then when he left at the end, they finished and, you know, nobody knew he was there. Is that how Deadpool will be in the MCU or even in X-Men films? Will he pop in, something kooky kind of happens? Will it be like Superman in the Mixoplex episodes when Mixoplex pops up? Then they, you know, they doing something crazy and wacky and changing reality, and you got to focus on getting rid of him. Then you go back to normal. Will we
like
get
to
a point
before,
where? Yeah,
like I was saying on the text, the way they were able to bring in the kooky, not necessarily kooky, but the comedic nature of the Guardians of the Galaxy and bring it into, you know, had that interact with the Avengers and Black Panther, because it. All of these other films have a degree of comedy to it. They do, you know, attempt to have
yes.
it. But Guardians is a laugh fest, period, from beginning to end. It's a laugh fest. I think the same thing can be done with Deadpool, especially within this, you know, this newly acquired Fox universe. The other thing about Deadpool is when he does appear in other comics with any of these other runs, he's always a fringe character. He's never, like, a huge participant. So even if he's interacting okay. with the X-Men and he's doing fourth wall breaking here and there, that's cool. I don't think it'll – I mean, if you were talking about the same creative team that was giving us the X-Men films previously, I would have these concerns. Now that everything's
okay.
under one house now, I don't have those concerns because we don't know what's going to happen.
Okay.
I am interested in seeing the same cast return. The fact that they popped up as a cameo here means – is, you know, for me, is a good sign. But yeah, I
know
like
it means they were shooting. And it means they were shooting X-Men Dark Phoenix at the time, and they were able to bring him over to the set to do this Deadpool scene. You're never going to see those
Probably,
people
yeah.
in these X-Men roles ever again, ever. And I'm talking McAvoy and down. They all have to be recast for this whole thing to work. They got to start from scratch with them. They don't have to do an origin story, but they have to scrub it clean. They can't keep none of them. Sansa, none of them could stay. They got to get rid of all of them.
All right. You want to jump into the overt theme?
Overt theme. Family isn't what you always expect it to be. I totally agreed. It was like, I'll take a stab at this first. It was promo, and Ryan Reynolds continually said, this is a family movie. But everybody thought he was being tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
When he really was, this is my misfit family from X-Force. You know, they all died. On down to the people that were left with Dopinder and Cable and Domino or whatever like that. So,
right.
I'm a big proponent, and we all, some of us participate in extended families, unorthodox families, mm-hmm. and I think they're just as viable as your family. So, you know, if you got a crazy immortal person looks like their skin's burned off as like a pseudo brother, so be it. But, yeah.
So be it.
I like mm-hmm. that scene. You know, I like it.
And we also watched Cable basically make a choice to accept this new family by not going
mm-hmm.
back, you know?
To his family,
so,
yes. Oh, did we forget to mention? Yeah. I think I did. Cable is from the future. I don't think
yeah.
I mentioned that.
Cable
so that
from
matters.
The future, yeah.
He's from the future, and he can manipulate time, not like Doctor Strange, because he has charges that he needs. And he only had two of them Johns left, and so he decided to stay on Earth in that current time with his new family so that his future family can thrive.
Right.
True.
Which, if he takes himself out of the equation, does he ever make the family? Anyway.
Well, all right, so you got to understand more. Cable is a conundrum of time, period. When we first meet him, he's coming from the future. He's sent from the past. He lived. They went out there and raised him for like 12 years in the future. They came back. He's come back a couple of times. People follow him. People go back with him. He goes back. He does hip-hop and slip-slop all about time travel. So never really
wow.
try to follow
okay.
if his timeline
yeah.
makes sense. It's definitely back a little zigzag. He's zigzagging all the time.
Yeah.
Always made it
wow.
confusing.
Okay.
He was, if I'm not mistaken, he was the first mutant. Really heavy into time travel, right? Is this when we first started getting to it? With,
yeah, really heavy
far future.
And
yeah,
there were so many continuity issues that, like Castro said, they kind of pretty much gave up trying to explain it to the point where there are just so many different versions of him. You have the younger version of Cable before he's a cyborg, Nathan,
who is just Nathan,
as X-Man. Like, it was just, they were just like,
and there's a clone of Cable named Strife. Yeah, don't forget about Strife. There's a clone of Cable in the future.
And that's probably one of the funnier things amongst X-Men fans. It was just understood, hey, you don't know what year these guys are in. They're constantly jumping back and forth through the timeline, which is why when they tied up
they don't age.
When they tied up Days of Future Past the way they did, it was like, oh, well, this is interesting. You guys made an attempt to fix in the movies, but you could never fix in the book. Ever.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah, that was funny. All right. The backstory on this would essentially be Deadpool 1. So we can just jump to a comparison. You and Afro's early analysis was this was way funnier than 1. And initially, I was like, way funnier? Like, 1 was pretty funny. But then after seeing 2, man, no, y'all, I agree. This was crazy hilarious. Crazy hilarious.
Well,
which also confused me as to why you were like, don't do a third. It was like, what? Yeah.
Well, the second one, I feel like the jokes were a little more homogenized, a little more developed. First one is definitely, let's get you used to our version of comedy. You know what I'm saying? You ever hear somebody say, I think some people don't get my sense of humor?
Yeah.
It's very similar. So I think once we got that rubric, the first one, which is very necessary, we started seeing how far they would go, how much they would stop short. And so when 2 came along, we're kind of just sitting there waiting for the jokes to hit us as opposed to, oh, shit, do you hear what he just said? And thinking about it like, it's like, weird comparison, but like, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. He was doing so much comedy by the second. You're always rewinding that thing, and you just caught up, you know what I'm saying? So just very similar in developing the pattern that we got to get used to in terms of, like, just I like that they don't really go too ham with the fourth wall breaking. Like, they don't go – he never steps, like, outside of the movie into a white screen and talks to us for a second. You know, I don't really like that.
He did a lot more of it. No. It seemed the way that it felt to me was like the things that he would have said in 1 to the camera, he was saying to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was way less. It was way less fourth wall breaking, and it was like whatever sub he would have said, he's just saying it to them.
Like that slow down Thanos, like that was drawn. It was like, okay,
right.
Slow down.
Right.
Yeah, like, come
right.
on. Just like, but we're used to, we're ready for it, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, while he's fighting, you know, his quips and stuff, we're engaged and prepared for it. So
right.
I think 1 was definitely a success in preparing us for 2. Look, I'm going to be a hard line on it. I'm just having a hard time with the viability. But I think a 3 could work. But, Mark, I talk with Am about this a lot just on our solo conversations. I feel like they don't really just really mind these comic properties the way they possibly can. They make it harder on themselves. There's so many stories they could just grab, stretch out for an hour and a half, and be done with. It would be a success. It would do $100 million. It would just work. But I feel like they get so wrapped up in weaving together a couple of things. And I feel like Deadpool 3 might be, oh, my God, there's Deadpool and Gwenpool and Cable and Venom, like, all in the movie. You know, like, they don't do 3 tastefully, except the Bourne Supremacy. Mm-hmm. It's always like, now we're up to 3. Let's do the biggest bang. So 2 had to be a bigger bang than 1. And now 3,
right.
Throw everything out there. And if that happens, then it becomes like Howard the Duck. It's just a slapstick of itself. So I just hope they would do it tastefully. And most likely they'll do an X-Force. Like, can X-Force be serious?
I mean,
here's my question, y'all. Mm-hmm. Can X-Force be serious if that's the next Deadpool vehicle? Can it be serious at all?
But okay. Do you remember, now, a lot of people didn't like Wolverine Origins. I did. The character that, when he was Wade Wilson in Wolverine Origins, and he was basically the same character in Blade Trinity, the slap, the, you know, yes. the wisecracking assassin. So I think he can still do that in a serious movie like X-Force. It could happen. I would like X-Force to be more about Cable and Domino and other characters, because I mean he was like a fringe member here and there of X-Force. Deadpool,
right.
You know, I would like Deadpool 3 to maybe introduce Gwenpool and stay over there for the most part. But going back to Morgan's point before about his fourth wall breaking, prime example right before the cameo when he's complaining about Colossus being one of the only X-Men. Like, Fox, why can't Fox go with the bone? Like, you're saying this to Colossus. Why can't Fox go with the bone? Like,
right.
You can't talk to the character about the company. Like, what are you
right.
like, what's happening? So it's like, yes, you're talking to these people, you're talking to yourself, but you're really talking to us the whole time. Are you sure you're not a DC character? You're so dark. You can't say that to Kate.
Right.
They did a really good job. They did a really good job with this, like all throughout. It was excellent. In comparison to one, I think they did a good job, like you said, introducing a comedy and introducing the level of violence in the first one. I don't think this one was as violent as the second one wasn't as violent as the first one, but we didn't need it to be because we know what Deadpool does.
But
he did shoot up a funeral. Now they didn't show everybody getting shot up like they might have with one. It didn't pop up.
Right.
There were snakes in there.
Right.
You say it's snakes in there, and he shot them all up. So
I wouldn't go with that.
A little bit higher, but not the gratuitous violence being shown.
Anytime
he's fighting an ensemble of people, it's kind of quick cuts. You see him cutting them. Like, I felt like when he was cutting them, like he cut a guy's head off. But I get what you're saying. Like, there's still moments. Like, it's still very violent, but it's not just violent for violence sake. I think.
Right. It's like the violence was done just to communicate how much of a badass he is. Like,
right.
He's funny as fuck, but remember, he took out like 14 people while cracking these jokes moving through the warehouse.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of my favorite scenes. That was one continuous shot of him just mowing through people, cracking jokes, getting to the panic room door, like, are you going to come out? Are you coming out? Or what? What's happening?
He's like, panic room, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding? A panic room?
Oh, Ryan Reynolds is born, and also it's because this. All right, this is one thing I would love with the comics for it to work in the movies a little bit. Y'all tell me if I agree or not. I wish he would keep the mask on a little more. Like in the comics, they make it a point that even if he's all fucked up, the mask is kind of still on. If he's wearing a robe, a lounge outfit,
very
the mask
true.
Is still kind of on. The movies they take his face. I mean, look, you have to show Ryan Reynolds if he's starring in it. I get that. So that's why they have the mask off and his face all fucked up because you still need to see, oh, that's Ryan Reynolds, you know what I mean? But aesthetically-wise, it would be a cool little thing. I think the cameos are way slicker in this one than the first one.
The cameos? Can we run through the cameos real quick? The cameos were incredible.
Okay. Like, who...
Let me get this while you're laughing. They introduce the Vanisher, and they show him on the plane with the parachute on.
Just the backpack?
Morgan said out loud, okay, I'm not doing this.
Wait, Morgan.
I'm not going to tell me.
When they were...
She was like,
when they were
interviewing
him and
they
were like,
tell me on a character we're not seeing at all.
When they were interviewing him and they were like, we don't even know if he's here. And his 8x10 was just a picture. Like, they don't know. Is he here? They don't even know if he's here.
So then Weasel's like, actually, I think he's late.
So So how long were they sitting there interviewing this person that wasn't there that they think is late now, finally? Was it an hour? When they sitting there talking to him?
Right.
And a sure.
And the fact that he included him.
Yeah,
but then
he made it.
He's a part of the team.
Right.
He had a parachute. He got caught up in the high wind. Did you see, now listen, when they first got the plane, and when they were with Deadpool's on the ground already, did you see how they were flipping upside down with their head?
Yes.
I was dying. They were spinning around. I said, oh, my God. But I thought they would level out. Let me tell y'all something. That is the part to me. Okay, so listen. The trailer showed Shatterstar blocking two guards. The trailer showed Bedlam punching a guard. And then now when I look at it, though, both of those scenes were fake as shit. Like, it's something they shot, like, in a couple of seconds. Both of those scenes were fake as shit. The fact that they died, I was sitting there like, what the hell is that? They were in the trailer. That's all I kept saying. They were in the trailer, like, seconds, like,
how is this?
And, like,
how is it still going? How are they still dying?
And then one after the other after the other, I was like, what?
I feel like they took a nod from Infinity War when they had the Hulk charging in the trailer with everyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
Nowhere. Right. He was not to be seen.
But listen, this is what Sony's learning. Marvel does that a lot. Marvel took the eye patch off of Thor for Thor Ragnarok, so you wouldn't know he lost his eye. There's a lot of misdirection. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. When Thanos is crushing Cap, he only has two Infinity Stones in the trailer. At that point, remember, he got five in the business. He's just getting them up.
You remember in the Civil War trailer, they made us think that Rhodey died in the trailer.
Yes.
Because they showed him crashing down, then they showed a funeral. And it was like, oh, shit, Rhodey died. Rhodey does not die.
Yep.
Agent Carter died.
That is
true. They've been playing us. They've been playing us for a while. And you did a very good job not spoiling that for me by telling me I would enjoy Shatterstar's story.
Yeah, that was good.
Text message.
That was great. That's what I thought. I'm sitting there. He had lines and everything. I said, oh, shit. He got the wide eyes. They mentioned he actually says Mojo World out his mouth.
He said Mojo World.
For me. He said, I'm from Mojo World, and I'm 30%. What he said, I'm better at doing everything than you are, and they are genetically better. He had the long hair, and he was nothing but meat. All right, we got to see Terry Crews' power. He did it. He did the little electricity power thing. So that was pretty cool.
Right. So other cameos, Matt Damon. I did not notice that was him at all in the film.
Yep.
As one of the rednecks. That was amazing. And then going back to the X-Men cameo, that was the full cast in there. The credits. That was actually the full cast in that room, which was just hilarious. That was too much. I honestly remember, like, both of us, me and Morgan, we said, what? And we were frozen. We were just frozen.
Okay, but not
looking at each other.
Here's my devil advocate point to that. How often now can he do the running X-Men joke, nobody's in the mansion anymore? Now that you have that type of payoff.
Well, the joke now is that it was a split second, that they gave him a split second. That's the joke now. Like, that just moves it.
So are the other jokes when he comes, are they going to all run into the rooms and slam their doors and, like, hide? And
no.
For me, the joke was,
no, we've always been around. We've been purposely avoiding you, period.
Got that. I got that. But doesn't that pull the plug from the joke of, you can't afford more X-Men in the movie? Because that was the first one.
Definitely,
and then we thought
does.
That was...
I mean, should that joke...
Right, the joke just moved now.
Yeah, we don't need that joke anymore.
Like, I agree with you. Like, my thing is they can use it for their benefit. Like, you ever see when Justice League of Superheroes would have a different mission, there'd be different ones at the Justice League, at the hall.
Yeah.
They would just go handle it or whatever. Then, you know, Black Canary or Hawkman or whatever. If you do that, if you can get your hand on a couple more characters, and every time Deadpool pops up at the mansion, there's a different set of two X-Men. Not just, even though I love Colossus, I would definitely want him around. But you know what I mean? Deadpool can be like, only two, you know.
I think it'd be beating a dead horse.
I see. Yeah, at that point, why keep doing it?
Yeah, I think it'd be beating a dead horse. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to move the joke.
Especially now, let's remember, the way this ended, all of those mutant kids are now with the mansion.
Oh, yeah, from the ethics program, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a whole new class that just got pulled over to the mansion now.
Well, if we think about it, they never done the full mansion that well. Remember, the most we've seen was like in X-Men 1, it would always be like a panning shot more. Like they would pan across, and you see all the mutants doing their thing and playing ball, but they never really got into the nitty gritty of
PhD
dealing with the powers in classrooms, having different issues. They did it in cartoons. Like there's that one X-Men Evolution cartoon.
They did
classrooms in high school.
They did classrooms. They did classrooms.
No, but
they did,
like,
but not to
the
extent they could have. Like they could have done
just a little scene to the side. Yeah, like. Storm would be teaching, and then Xavier come in, but they never really dived into this is a school, there's issues at the school as well as somebody coming to invade them.
You know
like,
what?
That can be a good
you
movie.
You know what?
You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say. That would be a good movie. I think New Mutants is kind of a taste of that. The New Mutants horror film that's coming out. This is dealing with the kids within their powers, their own situation at that facility. So they could have done something similar at the X-Mansion with the kids and had the major characters as, you know, sub-characters throughout that film. But, yeah, you're right. There's definitely an opportunity to do that. And depending on how this New Mutants pulls off, I would like to see them try something like that with the kids at the X-Mansion. Because then you could get Jubilee and everyone else, all the younger X-Men, Kitty Pryde, you know.
Right, it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. Instead of making Rogue 18, instead of making Rogue 15 years old, like, come on.
They keep changing, Rogue age just jumps all over the place. Like, you know,
Now they're stuck with Paquin, but this kid, like, look, you got to wipe it clean, like we said. But anyway, I digress.
Right. We're at rewatchability. I feel like we're definitely going to see it again.
For sure.
I'll see it again. I'm not having the same rush back out and see it as like Black Panther or Infinity War, excuse me. But enjoying it again and catching more Easter eggs is definitely one of those movies. So I think you can always enjoy these movies kind of twice. Because, like I said, I think it was funnier than the first one. I think the first one had its humor, and the first one had some humor I was prepared for. Like, I'm waiting for him to be a dick or a fourth wall break or whatever. But, like I said, in this one, he's actually straight saying it to people. And
just so great.
Oh, my God. Somebody called Negasonic Teenage Warhead 11. He said, calm down, 11. Like, he just.
Yes.
He called you.
Yes.
He just called you right out your name. He called one of the orderlies Jared Kushner. He said,
yes.
Like, and he's calling you your other name. He said Cerebro smells like Patrick Stewart. They don't know who Patrick Stewart is.
Right. So that's my whole point. He did all the fourth wall breaking just without actually breaking them.
And that whole scene when he was pretending like he knew what Colossus was going to say the whole time.
Oh,
when he just kept repeating
when he had Cerebro on and he's like, I can
read your mind. Like, I'm using it. He's like, I'm reading your mind. Like, no, you're not. He's like, no, you're not.
When he called Defender Brown Panther, I literally could have pissed myself.
Okay.
That was it.
Brown Panther.
That was it. When he said Splash of Diabetes, when he was describing all of them walking, I was just like, is he talking about rock?
Splash
like, oh,
of Diabetes
please.
Was done.
Can we talk?
No, no. The
talk
Black
about,
Tom Cassidy stuff. The Black Tom Cassidy stuff.
Yeah.
You should judge people on the content of their character. He said, you should judge people on the content of their character.
He's like, I'm not racist, you idiot.
Oh, my God.
And it was cool that they rolled Black Tom in because he's a... Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's cool because they rolled Black Tom in because he's a Juggernaut character. Black Tom and Juggernaut are always together in the comics more. They're like a tag team. So the fact that they... like singled him out and gave him lines and stuff. It was like paying homage to Juggernaut.
I'm
which
I think
yeah.
No, I think I gave Morgan false information. I thought they were brothers, but then
Juggernaut
identified
and Professor
as,
X
is right,
brother.
As their
they
brother.
Brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why he
brother.
Wears the helmet to block, and he even mentions that. That's why he wears the helmet to block from mental attacks or whatever. Now, let me ask both of y'all.
Yeah.
Juggernaut is a full CGI character. How did that work out for y'all?
That worked out fine.
Okay. It was fine.
You a little, you're fine. Or all right, Morris, as opposed to Vinnie Jones in X-Men 3, I'm the Juggernaut bitch.
That was amazing.
Yeah,
I
like that.
It was Vinnie Jones.
Okay. Here's the thing. This one's better in the way of scale. Like,
okay,
he was so much bigger, you know, than everybody else, and the Juggernaut, the human one, wasn't. Like, he wasn't as big as the mountain. You know what I mean? Like,
right. No.
So
yeah, I think they put
like,
a CGA body on him, too, a couple of points. Like,
right.
Stuff.
So I just don't love full CGI. So I don't love this Colossus. Like, I don't love it. It's fine.
Oh, you like... Oh.
No, I'm not saying
okay,
I have
no,
a better
no,
I one. I just... Yeah, I just... I don't love it as much as you guys do. So I don't love
like
the Juggernaut. I mean, but the scope and scale is much better than before.
True.
And
true.
The Colossus is a twist because he doesn't be metal. He doesn't turn himself back to human when he's on Deadpool.
Right.
You know, that's a little twist. But they're doing that on purpose. Too.
There was a split second before he was revealed as Juggernaut when I was like, wait, is that Juggernaut?
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
I didn't know it was going to be either. I thought it was going to be another big mutant. He was reaching around the corner, you know.
Yeah. Is that Juggernaut? And then he came out, I was like, holy crap.
That whole chase sequence with them in there, that was great. That was great. When Juggernaut finally got out, when he punched through the, oh, man. It looked great and everything. Everything looked great.
And then ripping Deadpool in half? Like, come on, man. Like,
oh,
he said, I'm going to rip you in half. And then he ripped him in half. Like, let us all remember.
People
say dumb shit like that all the time. Oh, I'm gonna tear you apart. Like, he ripped him in half. His whole body.
And then Domino used him as a backpack.
Right,
character.
And that's the thing. That's one of the things that we really got to appreciate about the Deadpool universe. We've never seen a character brutally killed, brutally attacked like that, period. That's like Tarantino Kill Bill type shit. Like, we watched him tear his body in two pieces. Like,
and he's
what?
A so-called hero. He's like the hero.
Right.
Like, he's the hero.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be getting ripped in half. Like.
So how did you feel about his death by the collar? Because we know that had they just taken the collar off, he would have came back to life.
Right.
But remember he tried. They grabbed at the collar and he said, no, just let me.
So they let him die. Yeah, sure. I feel like.
And the fact that they granted his girlfriend, his girl being dead, so you know that him wanting to die was realistic an hour or two later. Like, no matter where the movie went, we were prepared for him wanting to sacrifice because he wanted to be with her type shit.
I guess what I'm struggling with is us as viewers, comic readers and non-comic readers, putting together things that we wish maybe the characters would have put together. Because it ultimately is their universe that they're existing in. So it's like, from the outside, we're like, well, if you just take the collar off, like, he'll come back to life. Why wouldn't Cable just think about that, you know? Or anyone else that's had any interaction with him.
Oh,
I mean,
come
he grew
back
legs
to life?
Back. He grew legs. Yeah, he would definitely.
Oh, you're speaking of if they just took the collar off, he would have revived himself.
Yeah.
Not like not died in the first place. Oh, I thought you meant like
right.
Okay.
Yeah. He'd come back.
I don't know. Can you take that for granted for them knowing that? Do they know him that well?
That's what I was saying, yeah. I think, you know, the more that I talk about, like, it would have been crazy to think that they would just know that, because we know that, because we have more history with the character outside of the actual films. I can't believe we almost closed this call out without talking about the baby legs.
No, we could have done that. We could have done that. I was very disturbed.
Because they traumatized Castro. That's how we were going to not talk about it.
I didn't need that at all in my life.
Oh my God.
I remember thinking to myself, this gag is going a little too long, and I'm getting uncomfortable. Like, I remember thinking that. Like, are they going to show it again? Can they just show him from the waist up? Like, stop showing him. Stop. And then they showed his little dick. Like, I said, oh, see.
Right.
The way they were avoiding it, I was like, all right, good, they're going to avoid it. But no, they showed it. They showed it.
Oh,
it's like one of those things.
That should be your key, that they're definitely going to show it, that they just keep it going and they're avoiding it. It's definitely coming at some point.
I thought that was more. I thought the camera angle was going to stay the same. I did not think it was going to open.
I don't understand that train of thought, but okay.
And I swear to God, I thought that. I didn't think that was what they were going for with the joke. Like, I'm watching it, and I didn't think that they were going for, like, him having, like, this little dick and no pants. I just thought, I don't know what I thought. I thought wrong.
You thought the joke was just baby legs is enough.
Right. Exactly. I was wrong.
That makes sense to me.
That was wrong. It's Deadpool. They're going to go all the way with the joke. You want to score this thing?
Yeah.
I still want to contend. I don't think they should do any more sequels. I just want to put that on the record.
Okay.
Anybody want to know why? Ask this in the comments. Bonk.
Score this as if there will be no more sequels, though.
I bet. Sorry, Mark.
I give it a full no name.
I, too, give it a full no name. He's got to fight the system now.
Always.
I give it three quarters of a no name.
Three
quarters of a no name.
Two and three quarters no name. Okay. All right. Why the three quarters? Is it the fear about the next one? Fear about three.
That's weighing heavy on me. The viability of the franchise. Well, let me finish. The viability of continuity of this franchise. And also, we didn't dive too heavy into it, but there was some unbelievability as this would be Deadpool's character getting with his kid and that being the purpose of this movie. They also flashed us too quick Cable. Like, I didn't get this sense of the family stuff. They showed the charred bodies, and then he just said he hit his time machine and he flashed it. We didn't get any Cable in the future. You know what I'm saying? He just ran to the present. Now he's saying. So I think there was a little room at the top for it to be exceptional.
I think the connection that people may be missing with regards to why this is like a huge leap for Deadpool to care about this kid, we got to remember where Deadpool was. He was about to have a kid. They were in the process of starting a family.
True.
And he lost. Good point. You know what I'm saying? So this was a different place for him. This is, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is, so I think timing played a huge factor. And then for him to have the ability to communicate with his dead girlfriend and possibly be able to join her and her saying, you're not in the right place. Like, you're not where you need to be emotionally and mentally to make this transition. And him to get it and be about family, be about this kid, caring about this kid, saving this kid. The motivation's totally there. It makes sense.
Okay.
Great insight.
I mean, that was pretty well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, wow. That sums it up. Deadpool 2.
What
you got?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, and Morgan back me up on this, I don't think there was too many shit or fart jokes in this one.
No.
Not as many.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. I agree.
What did you think about the end sequence where he kills Why don't you first take the Green Lantern?
Green Lantern. Now, look, the Green Lantern one I wasn't super attached to because I saw it once and I'll never see it again. But the X-Men Wolverine's origin, I've watched probably like 15, 20 times. I think it's awful, but I think it has like one of the greatest opening sequences in any of the X-Men movies. And actually, it ranks incredible. Up there in the top Marvel movies, the opening sequence.
Yeah.
And
it's incredible.
Just how much the movie was just rewriting itself as it was going along with adamantium bullets and Gambit popping up.
Yeah, that movie was yeah. But yeah, having him go back and do those cleanups is pretty funny. That was pretty funny.
To see him kill off that and that more. You saw X-Men Origins Wolverine, right?
Yes.
There's no character in comics that does that thing. First of all, how do they even get the powers into him from the other people without killing him? And where's the power from the electricity kid that Sabretooth took face? What is going on? So he has these rocket blades. He can teleport. He has Cyclops eyes. It was so much going on. They're fighting on the top of a dead nuclear silo. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
I could not. It was so much going on. He forgets Gambit because he shoots him in the head with the back.
Yeah. Oh, Essex. did you wanna touch that at all?
Okay, so Essex is Mr. Sinister. So the name of that orphanage called Essex House or whatever is also the name of the end credit one of the X-Men scenes where you see a guy from Essex take a vial of like Weapon X blood. And he's pretty much Mr. Sinister. He sets a lot of these things in motion. He does a lot of genetic social experiments on mutants and then backs away and watches what happened. He is the reason for Cable's existence because he created the Jean Grey clone, who was Madeline Pryor, who gave birth to Nathan Summers, who they sent to the future to get Cable. So
he's like one of the X-Men's greatest foes, period. Mr. Sinister.
But they're still teasing him.
So great. Like, and just they showed. Yeah, they're teasing him. They keep teasing him.
They're still teasing him by calling.
Essex there.
Yeah, just having they called this and you've seen the name. So we'll see if they go there. I definitely would like to wait for them to recast before they go to Mr. Sinister. So I think Zilla told me this idea. I'm not sure. But he was saying, like, and I agree too, take a good X-Men story and stretch it out over a couple of movies.
Sure.
How can you go wrong?
Sure.
Like, stretch it out over three movies. Some 10-parter they had, Extinction Agenda. Go to Genosha.
Extinction Agenda.
Stretch it out over three movies. Keep the audience involved. Give them a couple of cliffhangers. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Agreed. That was, that's what I was thinking. Definitely. That'll work. All right. Cool. Great call, guys.
Yay. Thanks so much, Frank.
Shout out Afro. She just wanted to channel her thoughts to us. So what you got from her, you get from us. Did I say that right?
Nope.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
We're done. Okay, bye.
You're outie.
All right.
The podcast has no name and no name. Have a podcast. Good night.
Subscribe, please. Click and comment.